Ever hop on a plane to catch a concert? Because it's cheaper than seeing the band in your own city.
Sounds a little wild,
Yeah,
huh?
a little crazy. But that's the world we're diving into today.
Passport, tickets, credit card statement.
Exactly. We're taking a deep dive into this episode of the Brita Community Coffeehouse Chronicles podcast. It's from October 12, 2024, with Frank and Ritesh. Have you had a chance to listen?
Oh, absolutely. Frank and Ritesh, they always bring up such thought-provoking points. This one has it all. Global music trends, the economics of fandom. We even end up in ABA territory by the end.
Right. It all starts with this whole idea of Western music in India.
Right.
You'd think a band like Coldplay, for example, would be huge everywhere, but Ritesh kind of paints this fascinating picture of what the music scene in India is really like.
Yeah, and it's not as simple as it seems.
It's not just like a Bollywood versus Western pop kind of thing. There are all these layers to it.
So true, yeah. It's a great reminder that cultural influence is so complex. Like, Ritesh actually mentions at one point that he hadn't even really heard of Taylor Swift until a college friend played her music for him.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, imagine that. Taylor Swift being a new discovery. I mean, she's practically unavoidable here.
I know, right? It really
Yeah.
puts things in perspective.
It really does. But here's what I found so interesting. Ritesh was saying that even though obviously her music is rooted in a very specific cultural context, right?
Sure.
Her songs about breakups, they resonate because, and I'm quoting him here, people have very huge problems.
Wow.
It's such a simple statement,
It is.
but it's so profound.
And it really gets to the heart of why certain music just transcends borders,
Yeah.
right? Heartbreak is heartbreak, whether you're in Mumbai or
Totally
you're
it.
in Minneapolis. It's a universal language, and I think that's something that Taylor Swift really taps into brilliantly.
Absolutely. And that brings us to Coldplay and a whole other level of, well, complexity, I guess you could say. See, Coldplay had this concert in Mumbai, and they intentionally wanted to keep the ticket prices affordable,
That's great.
which, good for them. You'd think that would be a win for fans, right?
Yeah, you would think that. Make it
Yeah.
accessible.
Right,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
But that's where, as we know, the secondary ticket market rears its very ugly head.
Ugh, the worst.
And suddenly, we're not just talking about, a few extra bucks to get a good seat. Ritesh was saying that some of these Coldplay tickets were being resold for hundreds, even thousands of dollars above face value.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
On those platforms like Mobicook.
Yeah, Mobicook was one he mentioned.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's almost unfathomable. Imagine being that fan who saved up, maybe even traveled to Mumbai for the concert, only to be priced out by these like insane markups. It just feels wrong,
Yeah, it's like, where's the line? It
Exactly.
makes you really question the whole system, the ethics of it all.
Totally.
Like, on one hand, sure, supply and demand, that's economics 101.
Right.
But on the other hand, should fans really have to choose between like breaking the bank or missing out on seeing their favorite artists?
And where do the artists themselves even stand in all of this? I mean,
Yeah, that's the thing. They often lose out too. Like Coldplay, they wanted to make their Mumbai concert accessible, keep those prices down.
right.
But all those crazy inflated prices on the secondary market, that's not benefiting them. It's just benefiting the people reselling the tickets.
Wow.
And it's interesting. Ritesh brought up a really good point that it's not just like a Western music thing.
Oh, really?
He drew this really interesting parallel to cricket matches in India.
Okay, so now we've got cricket fans in the mix. So is this just like a universal truth? Everything's up for grabs no matter what the event
It
is.
really seems that way, unfortunately. He was saying that like tickets for popular cricket matches, they can be just as sought after and just as marked up as those Coldplay tickets we were talking about.
I bet.
It really highlights, the challenges of trying to regulate a market that's driven by such passionate fans.
Yeah, they'll do anything.
Pretty much.
And speaking of passionate fans, this is where Frank drops a story that honestly, I don't know, it blew my mind a little.
Okay, what is it?
His friend in the US decides to fly to Switzerland to see a concert.
Just
I know.
see a couple.
See a concert. Either Coldplay or Taylor Swift. I can't remember which one he said. But the reason, okay. Because it was actually cheaper than getting a ticket in the
Oh
US.
my gosh,
Yeah.
you're kidding.
Oh.
It's like international travel is more cost effective than attending a concert locally.
I know, right?
It's mind-boggling.
It really is.
But you know what? It just goes to show the lengths people are willing to go to for these live experiences these days. It's incredible.
It really is. Like, at that point, are you really going for the music? Or are you just going for the story you get to tell afterwards?
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
oh yeah, tickets were too expensive here, so I just hopped on a plane.
I flew to Switzerland. Yeah, exactly. It really makes you wonder, like, what is that value that we place on actually being physically present at these events?
Right.
It's not just about the music anymore. It's about that shared experience, the energy of the crowd.
Totally.
You know, maybe even just the bragging rights afterwards.
Oh, 100%. And maybe a little bit about, you know, sticking it to the secondary market by finding a loophole.
Yeah, why not?
Work the system.
Exactly.
But hey, speaking of concerts, we can't forget, while Frank and Ritesh are busy talking about all of this, Monica, she's off living her best life at a concert in Adelaide, Australia, no less. Of course, leave it to Monica to be in the thick of it. But this time, it wasn't Coldplay or Taylor Swift. She went to see Bjorn again. Bjorn again.
I know.
It's amazing to think that, you know, all these decades after ABA, they're still inspiring bands and they've got this global following. I mean,
it's incredible.
It's amazing.
It speaks to, I think, the enduring appeal of their music, those catchy melodies, the harmonies.
Yeah.
Monica actually mentioned that she saw the real ABBA, like, live back in 77.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Talk about a blast from the past.
I know.
And now here she is, decades later, still seeking out that, you know, that ABBA magic.
Your music never gets old.
It really doesn't. And it makes you think, right, what is it about these live music experiences that makes people want to travel across continents?
Yeah.
Spend these outrageous amounts of money just to be in the moment.
It's that intangible something, isn't it?
It really is.
It's that feeling of connection, not just with the music, but with the artist, with the other fans in the crowd. It's that shared experience. You just, I don't know, you can't replicate it.
No, you can't. And it makes that story about Frank's friend flying to Switzerland for a concert all the more, like, I don't know, understandable in a way,
yeah.
Like if that's what you got to do. But it brings us back to this whole question of access and affordability, right?
Yeah.
Is it fair for ticket prices to be like solely dictated by demand?
It's such a tough question.
It is.
Because on the one hand, you have, you know, the free market argument, right?
Right.
Prices are set by what people are willing to pay.
Right.
Simple.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, you have artists like Coldplay who are actively trying to make their concerts affordable.
Mm.
And then that whole secondary market just swoops in and drives those prices through the roof.
Right.
It leaves fans in such a difficult position.
Right. It's a lose-lose for everybody involved except for the people who are profiting off of the resale.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it raises this bigger question about what we value.
It does.
You know, if we prioritize access, affordability, maybe we need to rethink the system, the whole thing.
Right.
But if it's all about that exclusive experience, even if it comes with a premium price tag, then maybe this is just, you know, the natural evolution of live music.
Yeah.
It's a lot to consider.
It is.
So what does this all mean for music lovers like you and me? Well, maybe next time you're thinking about catching your favorite band, you might find yourself, you know, opening up those travel websites instead of Ticketmaster.
There you go.
Or maybe you'll just put on your headphones, blast some ABBA, and create your own little personal concert right at home.
That's right.
Either way, you know, let's keep these deep dives going because there's always something to discover.
Always.
In the world of music, in the world of culture, and everything in between.